Our scripture reading tonight is taken from the Epistle of James, James chapter 4, and the last few verses, starting at verse 13 through to verse 17. James 4, verse 13. And the Word of God says this: "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For what that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And amen. On this first night of 2017, and this being the first gospel service of a new year, and after the trauma of 2016 that is now an eternity, it is the burden of my heart tonight to ask a simple question. And the simple question is this: are you depending on tomorrow? Are you depending on tomorrow? You see, to many people, tomorrow, the 2nd of January, is as sure and as certain in their mind as today. And they have it all planned out. They're off work maybe tomorrow, and so they plan to get a lie-in, and then they're hoping to get breakfast in bed, and then they're going out for maybe a crisp walk if it's not too cold or too wet, and then they're going to relax in the afternoon before normality hits us again maybe on Tuesday. And they've got tomorrow all planned out. And already my wife has asked me, "What are your plans for tomorrow?" And maybe you've been asking the same thing. What's your plans for tomorrow? But can you be certain about tomorrow? James, in this passage, cuts through that assumption and sounds a clarion note of caution to those who take tomorrow for granted. And he says, we don't know what shall be in the morrow. And it's only if God wills that we will see it at all. As I pondered the thought of tomorrow, and are we depending on tomorrow, I want to look at four things. I want to look at the uncertainty of tomorrow. And then I want to look at the subtlety of tomorrow. And then, with time, I want to look at the possibilities for tomorrow, and then I want to look at the reality of tomorrow. So that's where I'm going with the message tonight. First of all, the uncertainty of tomorrow. Raphael, the great Italian artist, thought that the next day, his tomorrow, he would finish his magnificent painting, his masterpiece. The best painting that ever he would have finished. And he thought, I will finish it tomorrow. But on the next day, the 6th of April 1520, that great work of art followed him unfinished in his funeral procession. He never got it finished tomorrow. Charles Dickens, the great novelist, thought that tomorrow he would finish his novel. He was almost finished. He was just looking for that perfect conclusion to his novel. And he put down his pen. His mind was distracted for a moment, and the angel of death came and took Dickens' life away from him on the 9th of June 1870, at the age of 58, and he never got the conclusion to his novel. His tomorrow never came. Schubert, the Austrian musician, was confident that he would finish his symphony tomorrow. But his tomorrow never came. He died on the 19th of November, 1828, at the age of 31, and we are left with Schubert's unfinished 8th symphony. Never was finished. Sir Walter Scott, whose diaries are so famous in the literary world, wrote on the last day of his life, which was the 21st of September, 1832, on the last line, on the last page, he wrote, "Tomorrow we shall..." And his life was taken. And literature lovers all over the world have speculated on what the Scottish novelist Sir Walter Scott was planning to do the next day. People who thought they had tomorrow. And if I think of 2016, there have been some very famous people who have left this scene of time. Terry Wogan, age 77. David Bowie, the singer, at 69. Prince, the singer, at 57. Jimmy Young, the journalist and broadcaster, at 95. Paul Daniels, the magician, at 77. Ronnie Corbett, the comic and actor, at 85. Victoria Wood, 62. George Michael, at 53. Carrie Fisher, the actress, at 60, and the next day, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, at 84. They didn't see their tomorrow. And we in this fellowship could make our own list. And we could think of those that have been taken from us in 2016. James Alexander. Carla Cameron. Mavis Miller, Connie McCulloch, Joe Stevenson, Molly Long, Bobby Mills, Sally Gillen. And we could add Everett Irons' name to that list. And we are building a case, not only from history, but from last year, and from even in our fellowship, we're building a case, brick upon brick, person upon person, that tells us that we cannot be sure of tomorrow. And it would be a very brave man or woman or young person here tonight who would stand and say, "Pastor, I am sure of tomorrow." Says James, you cannot be sure of what will be in the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And in the light of such evidence, I must ask, are you ready for eternity? Are you ready for death? And death is not the final arbiter, for after death lies the judgment. And either you take your own judgment for your sin in hell, or you acknowledge and rest on Jesus Christ's provision for your sin at Calvary and you go to heaven. There's only the two options. The uncertainty. Maybe the next on that list will be Lawrence Kennedy. Or maybe your name. The uncertainty of tomorrow. But secondly, I want to think of the subtlety of tomorrow. And what's on my mind is this. Every day I get bombarded with advice on caring for tomorrow and coping with the pressures of tomorrow. I have people writing to me, insurance companies writing to me, and pension funds writing to me, and the government all shout at me in unison, prepare for tomorrow. Make sure you're putting by enough for your pension. Make sure that you have the future secure. Insurance to cover you if you're sick and can't work. Pension to supplement the state pension so you can live more comfortably. Private health care to protect you whenever the health service is struggling and the queues and the lists are getting longer, and you get that private care to help you. It's subtle. For they have us planning for what is uncertain and unsure, and things about that might never happen, and circumstances where we will never meet or need what we see it for. But they are happy to ignore a certain eternity. You see the subtlety? This government is wanting us to save for things that might never happen, and they are quite happy that we forget that within us there's an eternal soul that will live forever. Subtle. And so we are thinking, should I take out another policy? Should I put more into savings? If you're in that position, you're very fortunate. Should I think of a private health scheme? Can I afford such a thing? And you're trying to think of every eventuality, and all the time the government is not telling the people that they have a soul that will live forever. Foolish, isn't it? You know what the Lord Jesus said? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and have all the insurance and all the health schemes and all the money and lose his soul? Oh, the subtlety of tomorrow. Car insurance, just in case. Life insurance, just in case. Home insurance, just in case. Contents insurance, just in case. Pet insurance, just in case. And the only guarantee is that we will die and stand condemned because of our sin, and society doesn't really seem to care. Satan has twisted and distorted our logic. Live for now. Live for the moment. Live for the uncertainties that might come your way. Forget about eternity. And it just could be that someone in Bali Baptist tonight, and you have forgotten about eternity. The uncertainty of tomorrow. Life is short. None of us can be sure. The subtlety of tomorrow. They have us saving and anticipating all things that might never, never happen, and forget about the certainty of eternity. Make sure you're ready for eternity. The third thing, not only the uncertainty of tomorrow and the subtlety of tomorrow, I want to look at the possibility of tomorrow. And what's on my mind is this. I'm not thinking about the lie-in. If you get a lie-in, that's great. I would dread the thought of lying in. It wouldn't appeal to me at all. Once I wake and I have to get up. And maybe it's not the breakfast in bed. My wife tells me I don't like breakfast in bed. I don't know how she knows that. I think it's somehow convenient, but she has convinced me that I don't like breakfast in bed. So I'm taking that she knows what she's talking about. And I'm not even thinking about the fresh walk. No, I'm thinking of two possibilities for tomorrow. Possibility one, you live for self. Possibility two, you live for God. Possibility one, you live for the temporal. Possibility number two, you live for the eternal. Possibility number one, you live for an uncertain tomorrow. Possibility number two, you live for a certain eternity. The possibility for tomorrow. There is a glorious possibility. Catch me now, listen carefully. There is a glorious possibility of a dynamic, radical, spiritual change for tomorrow. There is the possibility of a change of life. There's a possibility of a change of walk. There's a possibility of a change of direction. There's a possibility of a change of attitude and a change of thinking and a change of destiny. It's a possibility. Say, Pastor, how can that be? Well, that change is possible because Jesus Christ came that first Christmas. And even though we have sort of got over Christmas now, and maybe the decorations are coming down or have been down, and we have put it to bed, God doesn't work like that. The work of that incarnation is still valid. He came to intervene, and he came to live that life as an example to all, that he might go to Calvary, and there on the cross, God placed upon him the punishment that you deserved and I deserved. And because of that, all who trust him, all who rest on that finished work, all who say, Jesus died for me and I'm putting my trust and I'm giving my life to him, he provides forgiveness and cleansing. And all of a sudden, you have a new walk, a new direction, a new way of thinking, a new destiny. It's all new. All things passed away. All things become new. That's the possibility of tomorrow. There is amazing possibility tonight that you can grasp salvation. There is a possibility tonight that tonight's service changes your destiny for all eternity when you come as a sinner to Jesus. And all of a sudden, Christmas isn't just a wee holiday. You're thinking, no, God loved me and sent his son into the world for me. And Easter is not just a wee holiday. There you look on the cross and you say, what love, what amazing love. God in Jesus Christ reconciling the world to himself through his death and the blood that he shed. That's amazing. It all comes alive in your soul. Change of direction. Change of destiny. Adopted into the family of God. When we come and trust him. Pastor, are you sure? Absolutely. He guarantees it. His holiness is at stake. His sovereignty is at stake. His perfect plan is at stake. He promises, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Rings true. The uncertainty of tomorrow. I wonder who'll be next. You know, my wife and I are very bad at this game. You see, at this time of the year, we think, you know, maybe so-and-so will be next. Maybe it'll be so-and-so, or somebody's not too well. We invariably get it wrong. And the people that we think will be gone, and they're still here, and hardy. And people we never thought, gone. Uncertainty of tomorrow. The subtlety of tomorrow. This world will have you planning for every kind of scenario and forget about eternity. Subtle. The opportunity, the possibility of tomorrow. You can trust Christ tonight.
and say, Jesus died for me, and I'm giving him my life, and I'm giving him my future, and I'm staking my hope for eternity on the fact that Jesus died for me. What a start to 2017. Let me finish. The uncertainty of tomorrow, the subtlety of tomorrow, the possibility of tomorrow, the reality of tomorrow. This Bible is many things. It's a book of comfort. It's a book of history. It's a book of challenge. But amongst many things, it's a book of prophecy. And it gives us a little insight into tomorrow. You see, 2017 lies before us, uncharted and unknown. And we don't know who will survive 2017, and we don't know who will prosper in 2017. That is all unknown to us. But this book of prophecy, gives us a little glimpse into the future to give us a reality, the reality of tomorrow. After life, which is brief, the Bible says it's like a vapor that appears, like the steam coming out of the kettle. It's there, it's gone. That's life. It goes in so fast. But after that little time of mist, the Bible says there is a day of assessment. That's what the Bible says. For the Christian, those who are resting alone in Jesus Christ and on his death at Calvary, that assessment is called the judgment seat of Christ. It's like an awards celebration. And we'll be there. And our life for Christ is assessed. And on the basis of how we have lived for Christ, we will be rewarded. Time of assessment. Like an award ceremony. And the red carpet, you know the scene, and dressed all up and walk up and we sit. And we're all sitting at the tables and the assessment is given. Your name is called. And you think, I wonder what I'm going to say. Assessment. Christian, can I remind you that when your wee life is over, there is a day of assessment, the judgment seat of Christ. You can't do what you like. You can't live just whatever way you like. There's a day of assessment. And really, it doesn't matter very much what the elders think of Lawrence Kennedy or the membership think of Lawrence Kennedy. One day I will stand before my master and he will assess it. And it's a scary prospect, I have to say. I don't think I'll do very well. I think could have tried better. Huh? And there'll be some wee dears who were never seen on a platform, who weren't able to get out much, but boy, they were on their knees praying for Pastor Kennedy, praying for the elders and praying for the Sunday school teachers and praying for the recording room and praying for all. And the assessment. Oh, they'll get the reward. And I'll bow my head and say, praise God. For the unsaved, there's a day of assessment. But it's not an award ceremony. No. For the unsaved, those who reject Jesus Christ and reject his gospel, the assessment for them is called the Great White Throne. That's what it's called in the Bible.
And on that day, they carry in a book. I don't know what size it will be, but it has a name. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no storyline to it. No chapter divisions. No intrigue. No fancy title. In it, just names. Page after page. Name after name. Name after name. And this book is a list of every person who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what the names are. And one of the pages, I think it's maybe near the bottom, I'm not sure, I imagine it that way, there, Lawrence Kennedy's name's in. My name's in. And on that day of assessment, at the great white throne, they will go through the book. And if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be sent to the lake of fire. Judgment. That's the reality of tomorrow. All of us. For a Christian, the judgment seat of Christ, that awards celebration, that assesses our life. And we get awards that we lay at his feet. If you're not a Christian, then it's the great white throne and the book is opened. And those whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The reality of tomorrow. Are you sure of tomorrow? We have thought of its uncertainty. Life is very brief. We have thought of its subtlety to live for tomorrow but forget about eternity. We have thought about the possibility because of Calvary we can trust in Jesus Christ and he changes our life and our destiny all around. That's the possibility. And then the reality. A day of assessment. Christian, live your life in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. You don't need to please Pastor Kennedy. That would be easy to do. You don't need to please the elders. No, it's far bigger than that. God is keeping a record. There's the day of assessment. If you're not a Christian, I want you to imagine that day of assessment. And your name isn't in page 1. Not in page 2. Not in page 3. Not in page 4. Not in page 104. Not in page 204. Not in page 404. Not in page 4044. They're not there. Not there. And he says, depart from me. You're lost. First day of January 2017. I cannot change the past. But praise God, the past can be forgiven. The past can be cleansed. The past can be harnessed for God's eternal glory. Because of Calvary, I say to you, trust him tonight. Trust him tonight. He loved you. He died for you. And the glorious possibility tonight is you can trust him where you sit. Make sure you come.